You guys ready back there? Thumbs up? Okay. Good evening. Welcome to the South County Sanitation District meeting for the date today?
20th.
The 20th. Thank you, Tim. I've been asked to facilitate for Mayor Scholes tonight, so we'll be dealing with me as the facilitator. Can I ask everybody to stand and do a flag salute real quick? Salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Amy, can I ask for a roll call or Gerhard? Either one.
I'm here.
Director Lucy?
Here.
Director Nichols?
Here.
Great, thank you. Is there anybody who wants any modifications or changes to the agenda?
No.
I'll entertain a motion to accept the agenda as stated.
So moved.
Okay.
Second.
Second, okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstained? 3-0, it passes. At this time, we'll take public comment for items that are not on the agenda. So if anybody would like to speak at this time, now is the time for items that are not included on this agenda. Okay, hearing none, we're gonna move on to our consent agenda, where we have excellent minutes. I applaud your minutes, they're really great. I actually enjoy reading them. So we'll be looking at 5, 5A, 5B.
Move for...
Chair Lucy, just one clarification. You see two items on the warrant that are highlighted in yellow. Those are what we considered as part of item number...
You need your mic here.
So the highlighted in yellow on the warrants, just for clarification, those will be considered as part of 7A and 7B. That's
so it'd
all.
Be as modified?
Yes.
Okay. I'll entertain a motion.
It's not modified.
No.
So
he just pointing out that
okay.
He put it highlighted, that's all.
Right. All right. I'll entertain a motion to...
Move for approval.
Okay.
Second.
Okay. I'm sorry. I apologize, Julie.
Okay.
Okay.
Is this
before, we're going to hold that motion and take public comment. I apologize for that.
It's all right. I did want to speak to the warrants, and in particular, the two that are highlighted that you will be approving later in the agenda. I don't think you should approve this as a entire package with those included. So I think when you do make your motion, that you do so with the exception of those two items. The other thing about the warrants is the litigation, about $6,000 with your legal counsel. Some of you do or don't know that I have been in pursuit of a copy of your district administrator's resume. And there's been way too much and probably too much money mostly spent on that pursuit. Your legal counsel has refused to give it to me. Your legal counsel went so far as to retype Mr. Huebner's qualifications and give that to me. I want the actual document redacted of whatever I'm not allowed to see.
So, Ms. Tucker, can I just get clarification when you're done?
Clarification on what?
Just...
The legal bill is associated with a public records request for an item that I believe is public record.
So you're asking for an itemization on that issue?
Well, if you want to see it broken out like that, that would be great.
Okay.
You are the one who approves it. I would like the actual document. And I have seen an email from one of the board members, Mayor Hill, directing staff to give it to me. So I don't know what the holdup is. If a board member says, give it to me, give it to the public, it should be given to the public.
Okay.
So that's why I mention it at this point in your agenda, is because the legal bills, due to the arguing over whether or not it's public record,
mm-hmm.
continue. Okay? So.
So you not want an itemization on the warrants under legal counsel for your issues?
I don't need that. If you want that,
want
you can ask.
I want clarification on what your request is.
I want the document.
She wants the resume.
I want the document.
We're talking about the consent agenda now.
Correct. I am talking about the consent agenda and the cost associated with refusing to give
the cost,
the document to the public. That's my concern. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Do we have anybody else who'd like to do public comment at this time? Hearing none, I'll close public comment and entertain a motion.
I'd amend my motion to hold those two items highlighted in yellow until they're voted on.
Barbara, you were the second on that.
Second, I'm sorry.
So he's amended
yes.
to withdraw these two?
As amended.
Okay. So let's do a roll call vote on that one.
Director Brown?
Yes.
Director Lucy?
Yes.
Director Nichols?
Yes.
Motion carries.
So when are we going to bring these back, is, would be my question.
Tonight.
So we're going to...
Yes.
So we'll just put the CalPERS at the end of that discussion item?
They'll be heard as part of 7A and 7B, which
okay,
will follow
so please 6. Remind me to...
I will.
...to bring those back up under those that item.
Sorry.
All right? Very good. Thank you. All right. Mr. Gerhardt, I think the floor is yours at this point. Oh, Mr. Clements, I apologize.
So I'll be introducing Chair Lucy, board members, Gerhardt Huber for the record. This is item number 6, our district administrator and plant superintendent report. It'll be two-part. Mine will be verbal. John will have basically one slide to show you. Proceeding with the written report that you have before you, I want to just point out a few items. Our Cherry Avenue Rio Grande Sewer Bridge project is moving forward. We have a mitigated negative declaration that's been completed. That is now out for public comment, 30 days. And so I just want to make you as well as the public aware of that. We did publicly notice that as well. Moving on to our grit removal system. We're making good progress with the initial construction. They've encountered a little bit of difficulty with some groundwater dewatering, but they are proceeding, and it's looking good. Moving on to our mechanical bar screen, we did publicly notice inviting bids for this project. Parties that are interested in bidding on this have till 2 p.m. on August 10th. After we receive those bids, we'll be looking at that and coming to your board at a future date with, hopefully, with a recommendation. Moving on with the report on page 2, I mentioned I attended the Rio Grande Watershed MOU group. I was asked to present on a project that I was involved in Ventura County. This was a stream diversion project in the San Antonio Creek. That provided rehabilitation of some groundwater ponds and some dry wells. So I think it was well received. In fact, I've been asked perhaps to expand upon it at a future IRWM meeting in September. And then lastly, I just want to point out on page 3 some outreach efforts. I've given a presentation to the Grover Beach City Council. I did that on June 20th. I've also... made the same invitation to Oceano and Rio Grande, and so I have it scheduled next Tuesday to do a similar presentation to that city council. So with that, I'd like to turn the floor over to Mr. Clements.
Can I ask some questions before we go forward?
Sure.
On the end of page 2,
uh-huh.
last sentence says, obtaining a biological opinion from National Marine Fisheries Service remains a constraint in obtaining the final ACOE permit. Can you tell me about that?
Certainly. So I attended that first advisory committee meeting, as pointed out, it looks like it was June 21st, And in that meeting, the county representative laid out a bit of the history of how they're trying to obtain essentially a master maintenance agreement permit, one of three that they need, which Fish and Game, Regional Board, and Army Corps of Engineers. And part of the Corps permit process is they have to have consultation with their federal resource agencies, either it's Fish and Wildlife, but in this case it's the National Marine Service, in particular the Steelhead. And my understanding is they've had some difficulty getting the attention of the staff, or the staff has agreed to some deadlines that have now come and passed. And absent that biological opinion, the Corps can issue their permit. And so it's a bit of a tussle between federal agencies.
Is creek maintenance at a standstill then?
They are doing, my understanding is they are doing some maintenance. They've received approval to proceed with some vegetative maintenance, but not clearly the type of maintenance that needs to be done on that creek to get back some of the capacity that historically was there.
Okay, thank you for that. Thank
you,
Mr. Chair.
You're
welcome. Thank you. Do you have any questions, Barbara?
No, I don't.
Okay.
So, John, if you'd like, I can pull up your graph, if that works for you.
Good evening, Chair Lucy and Board. I'll start the superintendent's report. I'll start it off by referencing the chart. What we've done is we've had some high suspended solids and BOD values over the last couple months, and we've done a lot of work to get them under control. And at this point, we believe we've got the plant back operating in the normal range. The reason I brought this chart is to kind of show where we've gone through the month of July. This chart does represent July. The blue is suspended solids numbers, final effluent suspended solids number, and the gray is the final BOD numbers. The first mark is for July 1st. You see the numbers a little bit high. And then on the second mark is July 5th, the day after the holiday. And effluent numbers increased at around the holiday, as you would expect. Our influent numbers, which are typically around 400 milligrams per liter for BLD and suspended solids, for that particular date were 535. So they were about 25% higher on that one mark than they were. And obviously, we had a corresponding increase in our effluent numbers. But since the holiday, the chart shows between the holiday and now, we see that our BOD has decreased down to the mid-20s range, which is typical for our plant, and our suspended solids has decreased to a range in the low 30s, which is again typical for our plant. And again, the purpose of showing this graph is that if anyone's concerned, I just wanted to demonstrate that we have worked with the issues we had, and we're getting our plant back to where it should be with regard to performance. So that's where we are with regard to plant numbers. If you look at our numbers chart, you'll see, and these numbers were taken as of July 14th, our BODs, our biochemical oxygen blend, it was 42. Today we got a value of 26. So if you threw that in the mix, it would put us in the mid-30s in terms of BOD numbers for the month. Reminding everyone that our average for the month permit limit is 40. So at this point, we're below our average permit limits for the month for BOD and TSS. A suspended solid shows 39 on this chart, but of course we've gotten a few lower values since then. So again, we'll be in the mid-30s if we were to chart what we have as of this day and this moment. One of the good news out of this is, one of the good news items is, as you look at the FECO coliform numbers, we didn't have any impact. FECO coliform are the bacteria that typically have a good chance of carrying pathogens or pathogenic diseases. So even though we were a little bit high with our suspended solids and BLDs, The fecal coliform numbers remained very stable. And our removal official efficiency remained at 91. The state limit, or low limit for that, is 80. So the plant's still performing really well. We were challenged for a couple of months. We seem to have overcome those challenges. And at this point, we're looking very good as far as our numbers go and our permit limitations. Outside of that, with regard to operations and maintenance projects,
Can I ask a question before you move on?
Yes, sir.
I'm getting old and forgetful, and if I wait, I won't remember. Last meeting, you talked about you were kind of trying to separate what the different items might be so you could figure out what actually caused it. You changed your approach to figuring out how it was. Did you actually come up with what it actually was, or tell me about that?
Yeah, you know, we got to a point where we were 2 months into violations. So we did a few different things close together, which if I was really trying to be diagnostic, I wouldn't have, but it came down to, you know, with the state, they have the mandatory minimum penalty. So once you have more than three violations in a six-month period, so because we violated in May and June, we thought it was time to accelerate our efforts to alleviate the problem. So what we did do between then and now is we went in and we had our splitter box cleaned out. Our splitter box is where the water comes in before it goes out to the processes, and we are building a grit system, but we don't have it in place now. And so a lot of the grit collects there, and the grit holds a lot of debris in it. And when we did go in to remove the debris out of the splitter box, we found a grit in the splitter box over 3 feet high. So we got rid of that. Another thing we did is we changed the speed on our distributor arms for our fixed film reactor, which controls how much water covers a certain period or a certain area. So we thought that if we changed the speed, in other words, we sped it up back to what was normal for us. And so those two things, and then there's another thing we did with our secondary clarifier. Our secondary clarifier settles out sludge after it comes from the trickling filter, biological sludge, which doesn't settle well. And usually you return all that to the headworks. Well, we had a valve where we were returning it all to the headworks at one time, so we decided to pinch it off so we're not returning so many solids to the headworks. And then two times a day, our operators open, flush the line out, and close it out so we're not loading our headworks with what's already in the plant. We kind of hold it in there. And that seems, those three things are kind of the three major things we've done over the last 2 weeks. And in that, all of a sudden our numbers turned around. So we could pick one of those three things. We got it narrowed down to that. So.
Okay, very good. Thanks for that.
Okay.
Do you have any questions, Barbara?
No, I don't.
Just out of curiosity, how often do they typically clean a splitter box?
If we were configured as most plants are, it wouldn't be an issue at all. And because we're getting a grit removal system, after the grit removal system is installed, it won't be an issue. Because most plants are configured with that and don't have that issue, there's probably not a standard. So at our plant, the last time we did it was last year when we had the pipe failure. And actually, we had more grit in it at that time. So it would be something that, you know, you'd have to figure out after being at a plant. For me, it appears that if we were going forward, if we didn't have a grit removal system, I'd probably do it every 6 months from this point on. Again, but having a grit removal system, that won't be an issue going forward.
Okay. Thank you. Let's do some public comment, see if anybody has any questions from the audience. Ms. Tacker.
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker, and I was looking forward to it seems like these district administrator reports are kind of cut and paste from the last one. And as I recall, with regard to the Satellite Water Resource Recovery Facilities grant item, that this is identical to last meetings 2 weeks ago, and it said that the most recent meeting was held on July 6th, which was 2 weeks ago. My point is that I think what happened at that meeting should have been included in the revision to this item. And so I think it's stale. This is stale. I'm curious, and I just don't know why I'm baffled. You are paying Mr. Huebner to work for the sanitation district. I hope you're not paying Mr. Huebner to give presentations at the IRWM on stream diversion projects in Ventura when he is to manage this district. I'm further baffled. That makes no sense to me. If he wants to volunteer his time and give a presentation like that, but if he's on the clock, which he is, 24/7 for you, that doesn't make sense. And I'm sure there was preparation, probably dusted off an old PowerPoint from Ventura. But the fact is, this district should not be paying for him to give of his time. It's your time. It's your money. In John's report, John, I would love to see the yellow highlights back. I think those just slipped off the page. I'm sure that's an oversight, but that's always helpful. The other thing that is on the operation and maintenance projects, the repair of the men's restroom, the more I thought about that item, last meeting you approved the funds to fix a collapsed pipe and replace a urinal and bring the bathroom up to ADA compliance, which is all good things. But I've been reflecting on the collapsed pipe. And if that pipe is collapsed, how many other pipes are collapsing or have collapsed or have integrity that's diminished due to deferred maintenance, due to high groundwater, due to their age? And when we put that all together, which I recall reading the State Revolving Fund loan application, and it actually speaks to the pipes in the ground that connect all the systems out there, that they may be compromised and that the price of your redundancy project may indeed go up. So I've made myself pretty clear over several years that I don't think you should be spending $20 million on a redundancy project. If the pipe's integrity is compromised, it's going to be more than $20 million. And I think with the off-site recycling potential, you really need to have a global approach on what happens on that, what further happens on that site, what it costs to further Band-Aid the site.
We're going to wrap it up.
I'm sorry. And thank you for allowing me to go over. But I really think everybody needs to take a good look at what, you know, the little canary in the mine is the collapsed pipe in the urinal.
Thank you. Is there anybody else who'd like to do public comment? This time, hearing none, we're going to close public comment. Is there anything you'd like to add to your report, John, or Mr.?
No, this is a receiving file.
Okay, great. Nothing, John?
I was going to list the projects, but if they're written here, if the board has any questions on any of the operations maintenance projects, we'd be more than happy.
I'm pretty good with it. Thanks. Okay. Oh, we're back.
Are we ready?
To you.
Okay, very good. This is item 7A. This is your action agenda, first item. This item is an authorization to submit payment to the California Public Employee Retirement Systems, or CalPERS, as an annual lump sum payment versus monthly as a cost-saving measure. As you know, a part of our employee benefit obligations to CalPERS, we make annual we make regular monthly payments of slightly over $3,614. It's come to our attention, partially through the budget process and partially through the invoices that we receive, that we can realize some significant cost savings by doing that annual lump sum payment versus continuing the current method of 12 monthly payments. If the board chooses to do so, you could realize a discount savings of $1,541.41 and 12 cents for both accounts that we pay on. We do have money budgeted to pay this in the fiscal year 2016-17 adopted budget. Staff recommendations today is that the Board of Directors authorize the District Administrator to submit a lump sum annual payment to CalPERS in the amount of $41,854. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Is there any other board members have any questions?
No.
No? I actually think any opportunity to, that's a 7% savings to pay forward, we should take that opportunity to do that. Is there any public comment on this? Ms. Tacker.
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker, and I, of course, would like to see you save the money. I'm only concerned that the argument was made just a few months ago with regard to sending the bills to the tax roll for Roy Grande and Grover Beach that you had cash flow issues. So to pay this lump sum versus paying it out over the course of the year, there's a big chunk of cash that goes out. And I guess because of Roy Grande and Grover Beach are going to be paying bimonthly through the contracts, you're going to be okay. But it seems like cash flow was a big deal a couple of months ago, and now it may not be.
Thank you, Ms. Tacker. Does anybody else want to do public comment on this? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
Okay. Now, how do you want to word putting, do you want to take a separate motion for to add it back into the warrants?
No, I'm assuming that if we do this, it's doing part and parcel of the same thing.
Right? Yes.
Okay, so let's go on with the second. Do I have a second?
Well, I just want to be clear. I would second the authorization to submit payment to the California Employees Retirement System in the annual lump sum of $41,854 as a monthly cost-saving measure. But if that's the original motion, I would second it.
That's what you intended, right, Barbara?
Yes, yes.
So Mr. Brown will be a second. Let's do a roll call on this.
Director Brown?
Yes.
Director Lucy?
Yes.
Director Nichols?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Okay, moving right along.
So this is item 7B. This is authorization to utilize the prepayment option of the loan for the district's cogen unit. As the board will recall, the district purchased and installed a cogen unit back in 2010 that is no longer functional. Each year since, the district has submitted semiannual payments in the amount of $37,398.30 for principal and interest to pay its obligation under the loan agreement. Similarly, when we looked at the invoice that's due in August, we realized that there could be some cost savings. I do want to make one clarification that you see on the staff report. This is not for final payment, but this is a prepayment. Not on the remaining balance, but strictly a prepayment. By taking this opportunity to do this prepayment, the district would save $1,046.55 this particular year.
What was that number again?
$1,046.55. It's staff's recommendation that the Board of Directors authorize the district administration to submit a prepayment of $73,750.05 on the loan for the district's cogen unit. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
I have some questions.
Okay, go ahead, Mr. Brown.
How much is due in total?
Due in total, if you look at your attachment, attachment number one, if you look at the total amount, it's, we calculated it's, we'll have next year another payment, and then, so I don't have the total amount, but it's going to be, let's see, Amy, if we do the quick, you got your calculator there. So we'll, this payment will be the $73,000, and then you will have another $37,398 and another one after that. So times that by two, and that will give you, so you'd have $74,796 plus the amount we're talking about today. So and then roughly $150,000.
So it'd be, and then you'll be done?
Yes.
So the other question that comes to mind, John, I seem to remember there was some discussion about some vendor coming in and possibly trying to figure out some way to salvage some use out of that. Maybe I'm wrong, but my memory was that there was somebody that was talking about that.
Yeah, that was a conversation, but that would not have anything to do with paying.
No, I'm just trying to, I'm frustrated that we just spent almost $600,000 on something that's basically a boat anchor. So I'm trying to figure out, since we're, it's part of the subject, is can we get any use out of what we have?
That would take quite a bit of analysis. I wouldn't be prepared to answer that. There's equipment there. Where we are is that we have a motor that's been rebuilt. The engine itself has been rebuilt, and so we have a newly rebuilt engine. It seems like a lot of what the problem was in the past had been the gas preparation, the treatment of the gas prior to entering the engine. So to address that, we need to go back and reevaluate. For instance, one of the things you do is you dry out the gas. Digester gas is really wet, so you have to run it through a series of heat exchangers or coolers to drop out the moisture, and you have to run it through a filter for silicate removal, and then you have to run it through another filter for H2S removal. And then at the end of that, you have to get the right gas air mixture, and so there, all those things would have to be relooked at, reevaluated, and even the size of the engine seemed to have been sized incorrectly, and so all these things we'd have to look at if we wanted to make an attempt to put it back online. But for the district's sake, the board, it's public knowledge they've gone through the legal thing with U.S. Energy, settled. At that point, the board informed the staff at that point that basically it was a salvage item. So it's sitting there. It has no value. We may be able to make it work, but again, that would be a
Is there salvage
separate.
Value?
It's a good engine, so yeah. It's a rebuilt engine that can work for somebody. So.
Right. No, I understand. Is there any depreciation or anything we can do on that thing to get some sort of value out of it?
I'd have to look, and I'd have to. That's an accountant question.
Yeah, well, that's. I'm just trying to. I'm trying
sure.
to find a silver lining in any of this. So.
I hear you, and this is. We've had some of that discussions, and I've asked similar questions. Why isn't it operating? Why can't we do something? And the answer is, it's just. It fails for a number of reasons, including design flaws. John pointed out not realizing the gas component. You got moisture in it, and
I'm just trying to figure out if we can write it off. Maybe that would get some.
We can evaluate.
So anyway,
Brown, I can technically.
I don't know. Just a thought.
Sure.
Yeah.
Those are my questions. But
I think one of the considerations when we talked about it before was how much it would take. How much more will we actually put into this thing to try to make it work, and so that's a
no. I remember,
major
but
question.
It's just a source of frustration for me.
So I'm going to go back here for a minute. What was the balance due on this loan?
So the balance due is roughly, I'd just say roughly about $150,000. So one of the things that just I had actually looked at was potentially just paying this off and being done with it. It seemed at least a little bit of a leap to do that in this particular year, even though I would have liked to have done that or recommend
it. What interest rate do we have on that 150? Is it fluctuating? Is it?
You know, I'd have to investigate that. I don't have that information in front of me.
So if we could actually refi it, right? Because to only get a $1,000 benefit for taking $100,000 on what's going to be a tight budget sooner than later, right? To me, it doesn't seem like there's, it's one thing paying your PERS because there's a 7% savings, right? But to take $75,000 out of the bank to save, what was it, $1,000, $1,001 or something like that?
Yes.
Doesn't seem like super great value, but to investigate refinancing that loan for $150, if we can get it, I think we can get a better rate. I have a suspicion that we're paying a high rate, even if we gave ourselves from one fund to another a loan, you know, a 4%.
I would, I can investigate it. Two factors to consider. One, this loan, even when I called, tried to find out, it's already been passed along or churned to another bank, and getting a response out of them is challenging, even to them to respond. Second, you only have another year and a half to go. I'm not sure that you'd want to invest the time and energy in doing a refi.
So we'll put $150 into this within the year.
Yeah, you'll have, after this, you'll have one more payment left, and then you'll be done with it by this time next year.
Okay.
And lastly, we're just looking for cost savings where we can find it.
All right. Well, do you have any comments you'd like to add to this, Barbara?
No.
No.
Not at this time.
Tim?
Nothing more.
You know, I actually would like to table this till Mr. Schulz or Mr. Hiller at the table.
Actually, I would move for approval. Actually, that's, if we're at the point where we're going to make motions, I want to make a motion.
To approve this?
Yes.
And you might want to open up for public comment.
We'll open it up.
In other words, I don't want to table it. If you want to turn down my motion, that's fine, but I want to make the motion.
No, I actually wanted an opinion, and that's why I said that. So on that note, we'll do public comment. Ms. Tucker.
Good evening again, Julie Tucker, and the annual payment is due August 16th. So I'm kind of curious about a prepayment. How pre is pre that you get? Is it $1,000 savings? And then, you know, if you had a prepayment that actually paid it off, would you see exponential savings above and beyond the $1,000 this payment, the next payment, and the following payment? I think that would be interesting to know. I think Director Brown is right in that if you table it, you'll lose the prepayment because you're waiting a couple more weeks to have the full board back, and you just may not be able to get it out in time. When you talk about the history of this lemon, I would love someday somebody who has time on their hands to run the numbers of how much it costs to litigate the item versus how much was awarded in the settlement, because this thing really is an anchor at the bottom of the ocean, and I think getting it off the site and surplusing it would probably benefit everybody. Get it out of there before it continues to lose value.
Thank you. Is there anybody else who'd like to do public comment on this item? Okay, hearing none, does staff have anything else they'd like to put in?
No.
Mr. Brown, would you like to make a motion?
I'd move for authorization to utilize the prepayment option and make a payment of $73,750.05 to save district ratepayers $1,046.55.
Second.
Okay. Let's do a roll call vote on this one.
Director Brown?
Yes.
Director Lucy?
Yes.
Director Nichols?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Great. Moving right along. They're asking for opinion on a nomination for NCSD?
Yes. So this is item 7C. This is a nomination for mail-in ballot.
CSDA,
For California Special Districts Association's 2016 board election. On June 7th of this year, the district received mail ballot information from the California Special District Association regarding their upcoming election. The letter seeks the district's vote in electing a representative to the CSDA's Board of Directors in our network for Seat B. Within your packet attached to the staff report are three candidates' information. Ballots must be received at the CSD office in Sacramento by 5 p.m. Friday, August 4th. That's why we're bringing that forth for you today. We've listed three options for your consideration today. You could take no action, and in which case no ballot would be submitted. You could nominate one of the candidates and direct staff to submit that ballot, or alternatively, you could create a subcommittee of the board to consider the candidate's qualifications, and we could return at a future meeting with a recommendation. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Jim, do you have anything you'd like to add to this topic?
No. I'm assuming, from what I understand, you just want us to, if we choose to nominate one of these three people, is that correct?
That's correct, if you so choose. But I wanted to give you options. We can't advocate for anyone.
No, I understand. Thank you.
And Barbara, do you have anybody that, do you know anybody? You don't know anybody?
No, I don't know a soul.
I know Anthony. From Sammy Dell. He's an inspiration for the future, I think. Extremely knowledgeable person, you know, for being so young and being involved in this work and not having a drive to be an engineer or a water expert. I really have to applaud him. And one time I asked him, how did you get involved in this kind of work? And he said that his mother was on the local special service district for San Miguel, and every time he got in trouble, he would have to go to the meetings with her. And as his punishment got more severe, he had to start taking minutes. And pretty soon he started learning about the system, and he's been really a great person to sit at the table with. So I would like to see maybe a nomination going for Anthony, but
you want to hear public comment?
Yeah, I'm going to hear public comment.
Excuse me, Mary. Is he the one that I know from RAC?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
He does go to the RAC meeting.
So,
and
I
also,
know who he is.
I'm pretty sure that Sharon goes to the RAC meetings too.
Yes, I realize that.
And then the other individual as well. If there's no other board members who want to speak to this, then we'll open it up for public comment. Ms. Tacker.
Julie Tacker. And the three candidates, only one is from San Luis Obispo County, and that is Anthony Calvins of San Miguel. The others, Goleta Sanitary and Santa Ynez Community Services District, although that person, Mr. Hodge, Jeff Hodge, was at one time the general manager for Templeton. I don't think that Mr. Hodge or Sharon Rose would go to the RAC, but maybe they went once or twice. It's kind of out of their way. To have a county representative is really what I would land on as far as choosing Mr. Calvin's, because you have a chance to maybe bump into him at a RAC, at an IRWM meeting, at a CSDA local meeting, you know, something that you may ask him to help with some representation for the sanitation district in the future. So of the three candidates, because he is in the San Luis Obispo County, is the only reason I would advocate that you do cast your ballot for him.
Thank you, Ms. Tacker. Is there anybody else who'd like to make comment at this time? Hearing none, I'll close the floor and entertain a motion.
Why don't you make a motion, Mary?
I move that we accept Anthony Calvin's as a CSDA representative.
Or nominate, is that the word you need?
Nominate, I guess.
I'd second that.
Okay. Do we need to do roll call on this?
Okay. Director Brown?
Yes.
Director Lucy?
Yes.
Director Nichols?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Let's hope we have a voice at the table. Okay, Mr. Gerhart.
Thank you, Chair Lucy, directors, members of the audience. So this last item, this is item 7D. This is an approval to select a firm and execute a contract to perform professional auditing services for the district's 2015-16 financial audit. I have a short PowerPoint presentation. Feel free to interrupt me if you have any questions at any time. So the past and the presentation generally follows the staff report that you have before you. So the past 4 years, as you know, the firm Moth Levy and Hertz Kim LLP conducted and completed the annual fiscal audit for the district. They did perform these professional auditing services adequately for the district. We have no reason to question that. Nevertheless, in the 2016 Knutson report and staff reports on the subject, recommended to follow standard accounting practices by rotating the district's auditor consultant at least every 5 years. So that's a direct quote straight out of the report, and thus we're following that direction. So we staff drafted an RFP. We used a template provided by the city of Aurora Grande. They were, I want to thank them for their assistance on that. We modified it, released it. That's part of attachment one to the staff report. We requested that the interested firms submit proposals to us by July 1st of this year. So by July 1st, we received 6 proposals. We did receive 2 additional ones declining to participate. One of the 6 was rejected immediately as non-responsive. They literally just put our RFP and bound it. We don't know why they didn't put any information, but they didn't. So that left us with 5. So we convened on July 11th a review panel consisting of the district administrator, myself, Amy Simpson, our bookkeeper, and the City of Aurora Grande's Director of Administration. We got together, we reviewed the remaining 5 proposals, which contained a variety, degree of experience, qualifications and methodologies, and the proposals ranged in cost anywhere from $8,000 all the way up to $28,000. So quite a range. Panel selection. So we unanimously, independently, but unanimously selected the firm of Glenn Brett, Test Corporation, and its proposal, and we've attached that as attachment number 2 for the following reasons. It met the RFP's minimum qualifications. It actually also was the only local firm, and so they had ability, obviously, to respond to questions and answers. They had a competitive bid price. They do have an understanding, as contained in their proposal, of our operations. And staff had some discussions with them previously. They called and asked questions. They also are familiar with special districts, sanitation districts, and municipal finances. And we did receive some positive references from previous audits. We do have funds available. We did budget for this in the budget that you adopted back in June. This line item, we budgeted at that point the amount of $10,000. So today's item, you'll see we did bring this forth. I do have authorization to move forward, but we felt that this is an important enough item that we did want your concurrence, since professional service auditing needs to be properly conducted and it's essential for the financial well-being of the district, its operation, and its ratepayers. So that's among other reasons why we brought it forth today. Our recommendation today is the 3-prong that you approve the selection of Glenn Bertet, and you authorize the district administrator to sign and execute a professional contract with this firm in the amount of $11,500, and that you transfer funds in the amount of $1,500 from the district's contingency account to make it whole. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Barbara, do you have any questions?
No, but I am glad to see you looking for a new. I very firmly agree with rotating audit.
Right.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Public comment? Ms. Tucker.
Good evening again, and I guess I'm not surprised at the price, $11,500. I think that's fair. But I wanted to point out the kind of the range in which auditing firms do this work for small districts. And I'm pretty sure I would have to check, but I think Los Osos just paid Moss Levy about $9,000. But what's jumping out at me, and this really is a message to Ms. Lucy to take home to Oceano, is that your auditor is $19,500, and at your last board meeting last week, you just voted to give them a raise. And when we're talking about ratepayer dollars, Oceano CSD...
But we're going to talk about the Sand District dollars. That's right. Now, Julie. We're not going to talk about OCSD.
But see, as
But
you,
we're not going to talk about as, OCSD.
And you're interrupting me, and this is my time. And I can say whatever I want. And I'm going to. I'm going to say whatever I want. And when we talk about Oceano Community Services District ratepayers, we've talked about them also in the context of being Sanitation District ratepayers. And when we get into their pockets, they are the same people. The same people. So when you are fiscally responsible over here, you need to be fiscally responsible over there.
Thank you, Ms. Tucker. Is there anybody else you'd like to do public comment at this time? Hearing none, we'll close the floor. I'll entertain a motion.
I'd move for approval of staff recommendation to go with Moss, Levy, and...
No. Glenn Burdett.
Oh, sorry. I missed...
Right here.
Sorry. Glenn Burdett, a test corporation, to perform the district's 2015-16 financial audit.
Second.
Great. Can we get a roll call vote, Amy?
Director Brown?
Yes.
Director Lucy?
Yes.
Director Nichols?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay. Thank you. We don't have anything for closed session. Is that nothing?
No.
Great. Does anybody else have anything they want to add?
I
How
do.
About the authorization and the transfer?
Oh, right.
I have something as well.
But I jumped off the agenda.
Go ahead.
I forgot.
I move that we authorize the district administrator to sign and execute a professional contract with this firm in the amount of $11,500 and to transfer funds in the amount of $1,500 from the district's contingency account to cover the remaining contractual amount.
Thank you for that.
Thank you for that, Barbara.
I second.
Totally jumped off the page on that. We'll take public comment on this item.
We did.
Well, I want to double make sure.
No, we're fine.
Triple make sure.
It was all encapsulated in the same item, but
yeah,
in our mind.
Okay, so we have a second by Mr. Brown, and we'll do roll call.
Director Brown?
Yes.
Director Lucy?
Yes.
Director Nichols?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay. Since there's no closed session, this time we'll adjourn the meeting for the evening. You want to do an announcement?
I have a quick request of the district. As a board member, I'm requesting a copy of Mr. Huebner's resume for my own personal viewing, not for public viewing. Secondly, I just want to mention that I've sat in the audience and listened to this argument go on and on and on, and I've seen expenses paid, and I think this district stands fully behind Mr. Huebner, and in the interest of transparency and to put this item to rest rather than fight it, it would seem to me that if we are trying to be a good stewards of funds and we fully support Mr. Huebner and his hiring, that we should be willing to stand by that and show the public his resume. I just don't understand the big deal. It makes no rational sense to me that part of the qualifications that we use to hire him and we stand behind shouldn't be public knowledge. I understand that certain things may need to be redacted, but that's...
Mr. Brown, have you looked at the webpage and what's available on the webpage?
I have, and I'm asking for the resume.
Okay, so let's put this on the next agenda.
Well, Director Lucy, I think legal counsel can answer some, and I can expand if they're...
But I don't want to go too far because this isn't on the agenda.
Absolutely.
Good evening, board members. It's correct. It's not on the agenda, but we are allowed to briefly respond to comments made and to agendize future items. There have been a number of Public Records Act requests. All documents that were in the district's possession have been complied with and turned over pursuant to those requests. It's my understanding there is not any outstanding request. The resume was not part of the district records. The board at a previous meeting had requested that a copy of that resume be provided into the employee's personnel file, and as such, it would not be a public record because it's maintained in a personnel record.
I know it's not a public record, but as a board member, I should be able to see it.
Okay. Well, there's... I'll have to look into that issue because of the employee's right to privacy. It's a little of unique issue.
You think as a board member I don't have access to his personnel file and the issues within it?
As an individual, probably the board would have to act as a whole to direct that documents from personnel file be released to the entire board. Off the top of my head, I don't think an individual can make those.
Without getting into a long discussion, because Mary's right, this is not on the agenda, I would challenge your perspective and ask you to come forward with points and authorities on that, because I don't believe you're correct, but I could be wrong. So,
as I said, that'd be an issue I'd have to look
into. And that would have to involve the policies and procedures manual.
No.
So.
No, it wouldn't.
Yes, it would. So, why don't you talk to Chair Schultz and see how he wants to move forward on this?
I certainly will.
Do you think that's good direction?
I believe we do have a request from the board, an outstanding request. We will look into that. We will consult with Mr. Huebner, and we can consult with the chair and then decide on the appropriate course of action after the issue has been thoroughly reviewed and researched and on that particular issue.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Is there anything else that you'd like to say or anything, Barbara?
My only comment is that as a city council member, I know I have no access to our personnel files of staff whatsoever.
Well, that's not true, actually, but okay.
Yeah. I guess we can all hash it out as to why somebody would want such detailed information about one's personal life.
But resume,
on that note, I'm going to adjourn the meeting. Good evening.